We're invited to experience God's words this morning as it's been recorded in Genesis. I'll be reading Genesis chapter 10, verses 1 through 22. When I finish with this reading, you'll all know why we don't name a lot of our kids after Noah's family here. These are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan, Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. From these, the coastland peoples spread in their lands, each with his own language by their clans in their nations. The sons of Ham, Cush, Egypt, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sabtika. The sons of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan. Cush fathered Nimrod. He was the first on earth to be a mighty man. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. The beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. From that land he went into Assyria and built Nineveh, Rabahath, Calah, and Resen between Nineveh and Calah. That is the great city. Egypt fathered Ludum, Anamim, Lahabim, Naphtuhim, Pathrusim, Kalashim, from whom the Philistines came, and Kaphtorim. Canaan fathered Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, and the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, the Arkites, the Sinites, the Arvadites, the Zemarites, and the Hamathites. Afterward, the clans of the Canaanites dispersed. And the territory of the Canaanites extended from Sidon in the direction of Gerar as far as Gaza, and in the direction of Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboam as far as Lasha. These are the sons of Ham, by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. To Shem also, the father of the children of Eber, the elder brother of Japheth, children were born. The sons of Shem, Elam, Asher, Arpachshad, Lud, and Aram. May God bless the reading of his holy an inspired word.
That's why people don't read the Old Testament. Or that's why they don't read all of it. They come to a list and they go, you know, I think I'm going to skip that. You know, all you got to do is jump over to Leviticus or Chronicles or some other places and you say, I think I'm going to skip that. We're going to try to drive that out of you a little bit today. I said that kindly. You could laugh. Yeah. You know, it was said by Karl Barth, and I think Billy Graham and some others echoed him. He said, "Somebody, we all should walk around with a Bible and a newspaper." By the way, it's about 7 or 8 afterwards, so please just bear with us on this, okay? Don't get too anxious. But It was Billy Graham echoed, we should walk around with a Bible and a newspaper. I'm not sure I would do that. I would walk around with your Bible and check in with the newspaper every once in a while. The problem is, especially nowadays, that there's so much fake news. I really would like to take a survey and see how many people have checked out of watching news. I do not watch the CNN. I do not watch CNN or Fox. Every once in a while I check in with them. But in general, I have not watched them. I have some other news programs and some things that I watch. Very tough to watch the news when this is the kind of stuff that you see on the news. Well, something like that. When you make the president of the United States a friend of bullies and you belittle him, you know that all of those gentlemen around are Vladimir Putin from Russia. And so they got Trump here with his tongue on a frozen pole. You guys know in South Dakota know what happens when that happens, right? They're making fun of Trump and what's going on with now the Attorney General Sessions. Now they've called him to task for his relations with Russia, even though in his job as a Senate, his job was to talk to the Russians, the ambassador of Russia. Doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any kind of sense to me at all. So this kind of stuff it makes us want to check out from the news. The problem with that, we're going to see, there's a problem with that. I wonder how many of us in this congregation know these three men and who they are, how are they related to each other, and do they have anything to do with you and me? Do they have anything to do with biblical history today? I wonder how many of us can answer this. And we're going to talk about this as we go on. Let's see what Jesus has to say about some of this. As he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will all these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, the word there is "began to say." This is not all he said. "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of birth pains." Now, those four things underlined there have a time issue. They deal with a time. When you see this, when these things happen, when you hear. Now, if we have checked out, if we have our head in the sand, how can we be doing this? We cannot be doing this. Some people get so afraid of understanding church and understanding the Bible that they even check out of church. And we see that happening today over and over as I talk to more pastors on and on. Now, the Lord here, and in Matthew chapter 24 and in Luke chapter 21, the Lord is talking to different groups. There's different situations going on here. But in general, he's talking about a couple situations. One, the timing of the fall of Jerusalem. Two, the timing of his return and the coming of the kingdom. And so we'll put those in perspective as the weeks go on. But for now, just understand that they are asking him, when are you coming back? When is the end? And he says, when these things are beginning, they are the beginning of birth pains, okay? When these things begin, they are the beginning of birth pains. So also, when you see these things, now, for the last 30 years, 40 years, 100 years, all of our history, there's been wars. There's been famines, there's been earthquakes, there's been volcanoes, there have been false Christs. But when you see all of these things beginning, so it's not just that happening over there, there's a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a little bit of this. That takes some watching. That takes some understanding. That, well, what's happening? And we're not going to know that if we've checked out. When you see these things take place, you know he is near. Jesus Christ is near. He's at the gate. Luke 21 says he's, our redemption is near. Okay, what does that have to do with chapter 10? And chapter 9 and 10 of Genesis. I want to start with 9 a little bit just to set the stage for chapter 10. And history. The sons of Noah went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Stop for a second. We should try to figure out who these three are and who the eldest is, because Shem is put first, but he's not the eldest. So why is he there? Clue number one, something's changed. And let me just say a caveat right here. When you run into this stuff, it is really okay and actually very worthwhile to stop, do a cross-reference, go through the Bible, go through the commentaries, check your notes, find out where Shem goes, who he is, find out where Ham is, who he is, Japheth, who he is, on and on. And that practice will carry you a very long way. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these people, the whole earth were dispersed. That word is separated. That's an intentional separation. God did this for a reason. God did the flood for a reason. He wanted them to disperse. And so Noah awoke. There's a break there. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him. He said, now his youngest son is Ham. And so Ham did something to Noah. We're not going to get into that. But if you want to study this, it's a good study. And read, add Leviticus 18 to your list. Okay? And you can go into that and figure that out. But Ham did something. Okay? And a huge clue is he didn't curse Ham. He cursed his son, Canaan. So he cursed Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers. He also said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem. So he announces Shem as the first blessing. And Shem is going to be the father of the Hebrews. All right? And let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth. Japheth happens to be the biggest tribe. And so he enlarged him. He seriously did. We're going to see that in a minute. And let him dwell in the tents of Shem. What does that mean? We're going to see this in a second. And let Canaan be his servant also. So Canaan, this son, is cursed for something his father did. And I'll let you go study that. If you have some questions afterwards, I'd be glad to answer that. I just don't want to get into it now. These are the generations of the sons of Noah. Shem, again, the honored one mentioned first. Ham, Japheth, sons were born to them after the flood. Now, to break it down a little bit more, there's four verses given to the largest tribe, Japheth. From these, the coastland people spread in their lands, each with their own language by their clans and their nations. 6 through 20, the sons of Ham, the father of Canaan, these are the sons of Ham by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. And verse 21 through 31, 10 verses given to Shem. Also, now see the word also? It's even though Shem is mentioned here first, he's given a special note. By the way, these other two had kids. Now also Shem had kids. And another special note, he is the father of the children of Eber, the Hebrews. These are the sons of Shem by their clans, their languages, their lands, and their nations. It is very helpful. It is most helpful to understand history, the Old Testament, and now. If you understand this a little bit, go home this afternoon and look at it a little bit. By the way, they are separated intentionally by God. There's the two verses. Write them down. Deuteronomy 32:8, Acts 17:26. They were supposed to stay away from each other. All right? Now, we jump to Ezekiel 37. Because if you're reading through the Old Testament and you've read some of those names, you're going to come up to Ezekiel 37. And you're going to find out that, by the way, before that, you're going to find out that Eber's name was changed, and it's to Israel. And by the time you come to Ezekiel 37, we have something set up for the rest of history. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel, that's Eber, that's Shem's kids, from the nations among them which they have gone, and will gather them from all around and bring them to their own land. Now, by the time you have gotten to Ezekiel, you would have found out what happened. If they weren't supposed to be spread out, why were they? Because they sinned. God sent them out. But then he promises, I'm going to bring them back. This is important to understand as we go through for the next several weeks, that Israel is promised to come back into their land. And this is set out specifically in Ezekiel and Ezekiel 37, that they will become very strong. All right? So, take out your maps. Let's just look at this real quick. This is a general area. Japheth went north, and he also went north and east and west, okay? And Ham stayed out there, an African nation. You can see a little bit of green over there near the Persian Gulf. That's because Ham wouldn't stay. He deliberately would not stay in his own area. He kept coming out and taking and invading Israeli area. And then you've got the blue, the Shem area. They really never moved out on their own. They got dispersed out because of punishment. So now look at your map. And you'll see, there's some arrows up there that may help you a little bit. You can see exactly where Japheth went and Ham went and Shem went and those things. That's going to be for your use as we go. But what I want to do now is turn over for a second. Just turn over for a second. And let's look at something here through this on the top there you says Israel, its capital is Jerusalem, and the world, its capital is Babylon. You're going to need that going forward. In this, which is going to be very, I put a lot of work into this. It's going to be worth a lot of money someday, I think. In the bold are the primary kids of each person, okay? Shem is on the left, and his kids are Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, and others. We'll let Don read that later again. And then in the middle, we got Japheth. He's the firstborn, and then you got Gomer and Magog, and you've got all his kids. And then on the right, you got Ham, remember, Canaan is cursed, and you've got Cush and Nimrod and all those gentlemen, all right? Now, the bold ones, many of them are enemies, and we'll get to those, but the ones in italics are also enemies of Israel. So you'll see many of the bold ones, and all of the ones that are in italics are enemies of Israel. And you find this list in Genesis 10. So it's very helpful to understand this, that if you're going through the Old Testament, you can look up this little reference sheet and go, you know what, those people from Tarshish, they aren't too bad, but those people from the Nephilim or the Philistines and the Sidon, those aren't good people, all right? So that's something to keep in track, and we'll go back to this in just a second. Now back to our text. So in Ezekiel 37, Israel's called back, they're in their land. They become a vast host, it says. In Ezekiel 38, the next chapter, we see this list again. Again, look on your list. You see Magog, you see Cush. You're going to see them on this list of Ezekiel 38. And when you come to this, when reading Ezekiel, your mind should go right back to Genesis 10. What happened there? Whose kids are these? And where did they come from? The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, set your face toward Gog or against Gog. That is a title. You won't find him in this list. It's a title given to the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. And prophesy against them and him and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog. This guy, this man, who's the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn you about and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you out, and all of your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor, a great host, all of them with buckler and shield and wielding swords. Now on that list, I put it down for you on the bottom. Generally, it's Russia, the Crimea, and Turkey. It may have a little bit to do with some of the stands, I call them, you know, Uzbekistan and those others, okay? That's the first part of 38. The next part of 38 we want to work with is Persia, Cush, and Put or Foot are with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his hordes, Beth Togomar, from the uttermost parts of the north with all his hordes. Many peoples are with you. So now whatever's happening here is really bad, because God has turned his face against this Gog, this chief prince, and all of these armies, all of these nations are coming with Gog. And there you go. It's Iran, Tunisia, Libya. Now, you say, how do you know this? How do you know these names? I mean, you're not a historian, and you're right. I'm not a historian, but I can read. I can read. Did you know that Persia changed its name to Iran in 1935? Did you know that they actually are Elam? So, see, let others do the history. You don't have to understand the history. Just read some about it, understand who they are. And I had some gentleman, I love the man dearly, and I had a conversation with him recently. He's a very dear friend. And he said, you know, I tried to get him to look at some of this stuff that's happening today, and he said to me, we can't know who those people are. And he visited Israel, and I wanted to tell him, I said, well, how do you know that that's Jerusalem? How do you know that that's the Sea of Galilee? And how do you know that that's the Gaza Strip and the Golan Heights and all those other things? How do we know? Oh, we know because there are historians. And I've given you a list of historians on there. You can read them for yourself. And you can go look at that. You don't have to do all the work. You just have to read it and understand it. And so these people are coming at some point. They either have come against Israel or they are coming against Israel. And I can tell you right now that there has never been an Axis power like that in history. Now, Russia has been friends with Egypt. Russia has been friends with Iran kind of off and on, but never, ever with Turkey and Iran. Turkey and Iran are total, absolute enemies, Sunni and Shiite. They hate each other. They both believe that they're apostates, and they're arch enemies, okay? So this has never happened, and you can go study this for yourself. And so God says, hey, you guys who think you've got the whole world in your hand and you know what's going on and you're doing all this on your own, be ready and keep ready, you and all your hosts that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. He's telling Gog, or the man of Russia, be a guard for them. You're going to lead them. After many days, you will be mustered. In the latter years, you will go against the land that is restored from war, the land whose people were gathered from many peoples upon the nation among the mountains of Israel. We just read that in 37, God promised to bring them back. When did that happen? 1948. When did they get Jerusalem, Mount Zion back, God's city? 1967. Write it down. These are wonderful, awesome dates. You're going to hear about them again. And what are they coming for? To seize spoil and to carry off plunder. There's only three reasons that you're an enemy of somebody. You either hate them, or you're jealous, or they got something you want. And there's a lot of all of that going on here. They've got a lot of all of that, and God is going to bring them down. So, one thing we'll just point out that I don't know if you see, we're not going to know this if we're not keeping watching in the news. You're not going to see this on CNN. If you've been watching news in particular, Wall Street Journal and maybe some other ones, definitely the Jerusalem Post, but some others, you will notice that some of the biggest gas and oil fields ever are being discovered in Israel, off the coast, 60 miles off the coast of Haifa, Tel Aviv, their most populous area, 60 miles. And about 8 or 9 years ago, Putin and 400 of his businessmen and some others went down to visit that site. He said he was visiting a monument, but he thought he'd come down with 400 businessmen. And take a look. And by the way, just last year, they found one of the biggest gas fields in the area in the Golan Heights. If you don't know what the Golan Heights are, go read them. Go look them up, and you'll find out how vital that territory is to Israel. And we'll talk about that some as well. So these are some spoils. So let's go back to Ezekiel. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish and all its leaders will say to Gog and these vast hordes, have you come to see spoil? In other words, you're standing back going, what are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Okay? Now look at this for a second. The red stars are all these nations, Gog and all his gentlemen. And then there's that little blue star in the middle. That is Israel. That's Eber. All right? And in March of 2014, the Russians crossed the traveled down the Bosphorus on their way to Tartus, the port of Syria. Now, I wonder how many people know this. Because let me set the stage. You and I are very angry because what President Obama did to our country. We are angry at what has happened in the Middle East and the world because of what wasn't done. That in 2011, the troops were pulled out of Iraq. And that red line that the president of that time drew three times, he never crossed to back it up and to fill that vacuum or to fix that problem. And we say, shame on you. Should we be saying shame on you? When Daniel 2:21 says that it is God who sets the appointed seasons and times, and he raises the kings and he deposes them. So now, the reason I shut off the news is because I don't want to hear that bad news. I don't want to hear that so many American troops died in Iraq only to give it back up. I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of hearing it. And then I'm tired of hearing that, well, we got this guy in the presidency right now. Well, we don't understand him. I still to this day don't understand him. Why tweet at 3:30 in the morning? I don't understand. And yet, people are saying he's friends of Putin. I'm going to disagree. And that's being bore out right now if you're listening and watching the news. They don't like us. We don't like them. And they now fill a vacuum that we wish they would not have filled. And by the way, you haven't had a pro-Israel, a pro-Eber president like this since Ronald Reagan, and I wouldn't even say that he was this pro-Israel. We're going to watch what happens. Because, see, Jesus is not saying, predict what's going to happen. Go ahead and tell others what you think is going to happen. That's not what we want to do. We want to watch. Watch. So here they are. They come down. And there they are. Down on the ports of Syria. And only about 150 miles away from Jerusalem or Israel. That's strange. And by the way, he has now made league. He is in covenant with Iran and Turkey and Libya right now. Watch. There's the president, Rouhani. He's the president of Iran. There's President Vladimir Putin, and there's President Tayyip Erdogan. And in January 25th, 2017, here's the headlines. Just a month and a half ago, strange bedfellows. You see, somebody's watching. Somebody's watching that a strange thing is happening in the Middle East. Now, this is just one thing. I want to go back to this idea about President Trump. He had more prayers done in his inauguration than anybody. I still don't know the man. But I know that they had a Jewish man pray first and then a Christian pray second. And you couldn't be any more antagonistic to the world and to the rest of the United States than that right there. You should stick this in the picture of your mind and take it with you all the way through this year and beyond. This is the point where America should have stepped back and said, praise God, this is an amazing thing. But what Trump has done is he's causing division. He's making division happen. He's making it division happen in the United States. It's not like it was 15 or 20 years ago when we just disagreed and I agree with my ideology, but worse than yours, and I could prove it. This is hate. This is fake news going on. And so we need to step back and go, what is he doing? I was listening to the House of Commons at the UK the other day. Not one person said one thing good about President Trump. They hate him. The world hates him. So, and again, a year ago, I wouldn't have voted for him because of what he said, what he thought, and the tapes that I heard. But I'm not the Lord. So we have to step back and say, Lord, what are you doing? Why couldn't you just let us have Hillary? Because Hillary wouldn't have caused this division. If the good people would have saw division, they would have done like they've done for the last 100 years, just step back and go, we're just going to take it. We're just going to take it because they voted her in. And God said, okay, I'm not going to take it. And to me, it's still a miracle. He should not have been voted in, and yet he is. And he's causing the biggest division in the United States and the biggest division in the world we have seen in history. And so we ought to be saying, Lord, what are you doing? If he moves the embassy to Jerusalem, what will happen? If he strengthens, he is backed up from this two-state solution. By the way, the Europeans think that they had one over on Israel when they pulled Resolution 2334, where it says all of your settlements are illegal. And then President Trump comes on board and backs him up. Europeans stuck. They can't make a peace treaty happen. They can't, because Israel cannot give up their security, and they won't. They will not, no matter who comes on. And yet now they have the strength of the United States president and the Republican Congress and 35 Republican governors in the United States saying, we're backing them up. And now the UK and Australia and New Zealand have all backed up. And by the way, they should have vetoed, UK could have vetoed that 2334, and they didn't do it. But they're making changes now because not what Trump has done, but what God did. Because he raises kings and deposes them. Now, I have no idea what he's going to do. Zero. I don't understand him, and I don't know. But I'm watching, because this is the most divisive planet we have ever seen, and the most divisive hate-mongering in the United States we have ever seen. And what I'm saying to you, and the reason that Gary and I and others want to bring this to your attention, is do not, like the rest of the church, hide your head in the sand. Do not do it. Because we're not helping those who don't understand. Other people are afraid. I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm afraid. I don't want to hear it. And remember the referees? Get engaged. Try to understand it. Look at it from God's point of view. And when you do that, you introduce hope into the person that you are talking to. Did you know that these three enemies must come down for the rapture to occur? Now, we'll get into those timings later on. But this, I'm just going to set the stage for you right now. This is hope. Because this must happen after the rapture, or very, very close. And we'll get to that as time goes on. So, here's a lesson we need to learn from the Pharisees. Here's a lesson that we need to learn from Israel, because this is why they were driven out. Here's a lesson that we need to learn from Jesus Christ, who told the church, you better be doing what I've said to do, Because when I come back, the master wants to find the servant doing what he was told. But they didn't. And watch what happens. Now they drew near to Jerusalem, Jesus and the disciples, and many spread their cloaks on the road. And others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! These are the peasants outside of Jerusalem. These are not the Pharisees. These are somebody looking for the Messiah. And they raise their hands, Hosanna, blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father Jesus, David. They are looking for the kingdom. They are excited and they get on board. Hosanna in the highest. And he entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. In other words, he went to the temple where they should have been looking for the Messiah and teaching him about him and understanding who he was. He went to the temple, and when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he left. And he went to Bethany with the 12. You have a man coming up the hill of Jerusalem with a throng of people behind him, calling him Hosanna, King of, Lord of the highest, and the people in the temple are what? Sleeping? What are they doing? We're going to get to this. I want you to remember the doorkeeper, the chief doorkeeper. Remember that term. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry and seeing a distant fig tree in leaf. He went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for the figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. So a fig tree, we'll get into this again. The fig tree is a symbol of Israel. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem. Immediately afterwards, he comes to Jerusalem. And he entered the temple. And he began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. Because they weren't looking for their master. They were buying and selling in God's house. This is what we should learn from the Pharisees. So we'll end with this. Jesus said in Mark 13, and when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. So if you've got a newspaper, you should go look at this list. I'm not going to do it. You should just go look at this list. And here's what Jesus said, and I'll finish with this. These are all the commands in Mark 13 only. And we need to hear this. See that no one leads you astray. That means we have to know something. But be on your guard. That means we have to know something. Verse 28, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. We have to be watching Israel. It's the fig tree. Be on your guard. Keep awake. He commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. 34, we're going to get to that as the coming weeks. Just remember it. Verse 35, therefore stay awake. There it is again. I say to not the preacher, not the teacher. I say to all, stay awake. In the same way, when you see these things happening, you know that he is near right at the door, Luke 21:28, when he's talking to the Gentiles. Luke is writing to the Gentiles. He says, when these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draws near. Now, you will never, ever, ever hear me say, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Look out, that's going to happen. But I'm going to say this, that we should be watching what is happening. I believe that we are living in the greatest time in history right now. And as we watch these things going forward, you make your list. What should I be watching? Now, I will say this. If you get caught up in just looking for the bad, you will see the bad. But what I would suggest is that you go see, look at what the church is doing. Is it? What status is it in? We've done a great study on Sunday nights. Look at the status of Israel. What status is it in? And the rest of the trees, as Luke says, Watch the fig tree and all the trees as they begin to rustle in the breeze. I'm asking the church not to hide your heads, because I'm going to say this and I'll finish with this. I've talked to a lot of pastors. I've talked to a lot of people. I've talked to a lot of friends, close friends, believing friends that are not too concerned about this kind of stuff. And so what happens is, if you're going along and you're teaching these things and people don't believe you, what'll happen is, if something happens or as things go along, they begin to think about what you're saying. That referee knows something. That person knows something. That means Jesus said, we can know something. Not everything. Not the timing of when things are going to happen. But that means we can have hope in God fulfilling his plan, not what President Putin is doing or thinks he's doing, or even President Trump. I'm asking the church to have hope through 2017 and through the summer as we continue to look into some of these things. Lord, we worship you and thank you. We thank you for your mercy and grace. I want to see your face. I can't wait to see your face. I want to see my kids grow up. I want to see my grandkids grow up. I want to see all that stuff. I want to be here to watch them play ball and those things, Lord, if you allow it. But more than anything, I want to see your face. Because then you're going to wipe away my tears. You're going to make redemption at the door for the rest of Israel and the rest of the world if they wish. And yet, Lord, we know that many won't. But we pray for that day because you said to look for it. And we ask, as in Revelation 21, we look for your coming. In Jesus' precious name, amen.